This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
Good morning and welcome to the live stream Sunday service. And it's the first Sunday in Advent, and it is Christmas. And in past years, I've sort of been like, I don't want to do Christmas yet. This year, I'm cannonball diving straight in. I'm going to sing some Christmas carols, and I want you to sing with me if you know the words to them. And we have Orlando on the piano today. So, as always, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your chair if you're able to do it. And this is called a walking bass line, so walk your bass. I'm walking my bass. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now, when we sing these songs in unity, we sometimes change the words. And you'll notice that this time I said Satan's power, and normally I change it to sorrow's power or something like that. Because in unity, we don't actually believe in Satan per se. So we change some of those words. But this year, I'm not changing the words because, you know, every single concept in our songs this year are out the window. So I'm going to go straight to the third verse. I'm going to sing it like it used to be. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place. Now see, that right there doesn't work because we're not allowed to all sing together in the place all at the same time anymore. So to the Lord sing praise. So we can't really do that, but we're going to go ahead and sing it like we could. And with true love and brotherhood, each other now embrace. And that's also not going to happen because it's COVID. So don't do that. Just sing about it in your home, socially distanced. This holy tide of Christmas all others doth deface. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Here we go. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare in room, and heaven and nature sing. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Sing it with me again. We're going to say He rules. Ready? He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His right. Wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love. Let us pray.
And let us breathe into this energy as we affirm our opening statement together. There is but one presence and one power in my life and in the universe, God the good, omnipotence. Yay. I have to say I love being here in person. Well, good morning and welcome on this Thanksgiving weekend and this first Sunday of Advent. And as we get started, I want to first take a moment and invite you to join with me. So this past week, Arden Grenfell made her transition. And so I just want to take a moment now and invite you to join with me in holding Arden in our hearts and in prayer. And we thank you, Arden, for the bright light that you've shown in this world and that continues on in spirit. And Dirk, we also hold you in prayer and love and know that this community holds you in love and in prayer through this time and that you are not alone. Blessings. And so now as we begin, I want to invite you to affirm with me our vision statement, which will go up on the screen. And so together, we are an accessible and inclusive spiritual sanctuary for all ages and stages of life. We offer spiritual practices and a community that honors diversity and encourages self-empowerment. We co-create a world that works for all. And if you have any prayer requests this morning, I'm going to invite you to enter those into the chat. And also during the week, I just want to point out we're making a small shift in the daily prayer boost. So you can join with the prayer chaplains at noon on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for short prayer and meditation, a little intermission in your day, a spiritual connection. And so I invite you to join at that time. So now we prepare for a time of meditation, and so I invite you to set aside whatever you might have in your hands to get comfortable where you're at, maybe even shake a little bit, shake off that energy and bring yourself into your body. So in an awareness of that breath, breathing in and breathing out, as we settle in for this time of grounding and centering in stillness and meditation.
Captive is come thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us Don't get so busy that you miss just a little kiss from the ones you love. Don't even wait a little while to give them just a little smile. It might be just enough. Don't save it all for Christmas Day. Find your way. Give a little love every day. Don't save it all for Christmas Day. Find your way. These holidays have come and gone, but love gives on when you give on, so give your love. How could you wait another minute? The Zoom is better when you're in it. That's a fact. Saying I love you's always better. Seasons, reasons, they don't matter. So don't hold back, don't hold back. How many people in this world so needful in this world? How many people are praying for love? So don't save it all. Love lives on when you give on, so give love.
Thank you, Aaron or Orlando. So I do have to say it is fun to be here, and I get to actually move a little bit more than just being by my own little camera at home. And so this is fun to be with you this morning on this Thanksgiving weekend and first Sunday of Advent. And I love this time of year. So I get a little bit goofy wanting lights and Christmas music, and no, I don't get tired of it. I can hear the same song over and over and over again. But I have certain rules, and maybe you have these rules. So I can't bypass a holiday. And I tried to listen to some Christmas music like 10 days ago, and it was just something inside of me said, no, no, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has to come first. My neighbor, however, put up her Christmas tree right after Halloween. So I know that the festivities are already in the works. And I think this year in particular, because we don't have the same social gatherings, people are looking for ways to bring that sense of celebration and bring out the light a little bit more. So I know in my neighborhood, things are already getting festive with people putting the lights out. Traditionally, Advent, the word Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, and it means coming, it means preparation. And traditionally, Advent is that time leading up to Christmas, which is a preparation for a celebration of the birth of Jesus, as well as traditionally a preparation for the second coming. Now, in Unity, we take, of course, a little bit different take on it. And so we see Advent as that time of, yes, preparing for the celebration of Jesus, who was that man from Nazareth who embodied Christ consciousness. And the second coming is that awakening of Christ consciousness within every one of us. So it is awakening that inherent divinity that is the truth of each one of us during this time and the season of Advent. And yes, we focus on that year-round, but we give special attention to it right now during this Advent season. Also, traditionally, Advent has different themes that we explore and celebrate each week. And so hope and peace and love and joy. And in Unity, this first Sunday of Advent, we are exploring and celebrating hope and faith. So I'm going to invite you to go with me on a little bit deeper exploration of these and maybe get a new insight on what hope and faith can be for you in your life. This idea of hope reaching into the infinite potential to grab hold of possibility and faith bringing it down into our life experience. So I want to invite you right now to just reflect on what hope means to you. And I'm asking you to actually do it. So just taking a pause right now in this moment and just reflecting on what that word, that idea of hope means to you. Maybe even type it in the chat right now. So maybe there's some ideas about dreaming or wishful thinking or maybe fantasy, and perhaps not always in a positive connotation, right? If you're honest. So those folks that are maybe a little more logical and might see hope as something like, that's just fantasy. You need to be in the here and now. You need to be practical. You need to be realistic. So it's fine. It might be that internal judging voice or someone out there in your experience that has that view of hope. Yet, how is it that hope is so often combined with this idea of the human spirit? And I love that term because it brings together all of who we are. And hope to me is that idea of sort of transcending and reaching beyond our human experiences. And so maybe this morning we might take a different look at how we experience hope and how we work with hope. It is the spiritual quality that transcends our human experience. To me, hope is spiritual vision. It's like the super spiritual night vision that allows us to go forth out of the darkness and see into the light, see into infinite potential and possibility. Those things that stretch beyond this current experience into something better. And whatever that better or more good is for you. It could be more justice, more kindness, more health, more wholeness. Whatever that looks like personally and on a societal and global level. So it is that potential that we want to tap into with our hope right now, because this is a power, and it's a power that we all have, and I'm asking us to grab hold of it. There are so many stories of hope, and especially at this time of year, but I want to just share a couple that have touched me recently. And there's a podcast, StoryCorps. And traditionally, StoryCorps, they bring together family and friends for a conversation around a particular topic. But they started a new series called One Small Step. And the One Small Step initiative breaks out of the usual mold, and they bring together two strangers. And specifically, they bring together two strangers from opposite political spectrums. So yes, they bring together maybe a Democrat and a Republican, and they have them sit down, and of course there's some ground rules at the beginning. And they have them have a conversation, and it's not necessarily about politics. The whole idea of this One Small Step initiative is to bring people together in conversation to find where they have common values and can appreciate different perspectives and have kind of respect in that conversation for one another and maybe get some new insights in that process. And so I just want to share one couple of people that came together, and that's Katie and Jessica. And so, of course, like all the pairs of people that they paired up, Katie and Jessica are from two different, they vote from different political parties. And interestingly, each of their parents vote for different political parties. So in other words, and I'm not going to tell you who's who. So one's an attorney, one's a pastor, and let me just check in. Did you make a judgment right there or a stereotype about who was the Democrat and who was the Republican between the attorney and the pastor? So interestingly, their parents vote differently than each of them. And so what they came together with in conversation was the struggle and challenge and how heartbreaking it is for them to feel disconnected from their parents and feeling like they can't even have a conversation. Yet in the process of this conversation, Jessica and Katie were able to have a conversation about their different views and how that influenced their political ideology and the way that they vote. And they came to have greater understanding and appreciation for each other. And this was a common theme throughout all of the different One Step Initiative pairs that they brought together. And the director of One Small Step Initiative, Stacy Todd, she shared, you know, many of these folks came together as strangers from different political ideologies, and they would often exchange information and become friends. And she admitted that this is not a solution for everything. So this isn't something that's going to solve all of the kind of disparities that exist in this great divide that so many are experiencing right now, that so many of us are seeing in our country politically. But she said, and she pointed out, it's one small step. And Katie shared at the end of her conversation with her new friend that she was hopeful that more people would be sitting down and having these kinds of conversations. And if you're feeling disheartened by some of the seeming divide in our country around politics, I encourage you to check it out. It's One Small Step Initiative, and no, I'm not getting paid to advertise this. And it's the Great Divide and how we heal as a nation through this. StoryCorps founder Dave Asay said this. He said, "The dream is to convince the country that it's our patriotic duty to see the humanity in people we disagree with." We think of this a little bit as a light seeping into a pitch dark room, helping our eyes adjust so we can begin to see one another again, to truly see one another again. Hope is essential and significant for any change and transformation in a very tangible way. And when faced with the impossible, when faced with challenge, hope can be that flame that ignites inspiration. It can be that thing that draws us and pulls us forward into a different future, a different potential and possibility. And so I also want to share another little story. And this is about Václav Havel. And some of you may know that name. I didn't know of this person until recently. And as I got to know him, about him, I was very inspired. And I, of course, went on and started watching YouTube videos and reading all about him and his life. And he knows intimately what it means to be in the midst of struggle on a large scale and then to tap into hope in order to overcome that. And so Václav Havel, he was a writer, he was a dissident. He spoke out about humanitarian abuses in the Soviet bloc. And he was always fighting for humanitarian issues and for people. And he said he loved people. He would sign his letters with a green pen, you know, sign his name with a green pen and write a little red heart after it. And that continued even when he became president of Czechoslovakia. And so he was the last president of Czechoslovakia before it was dissolved in 1992. And then he was the first president of the Czech Republic. And through his work as a humanitarian and calling forth environmental rights and human rights, he became highly respected throughout the world by other world leaders, including the Dalai Lama. He received many different accolades and awards for his humanitarian efforts. And I bring him forward right now because through his humanitarian efforts and through his work, he was imprisoned a number of times early on as he called out human rights abuses within the Soviet bloc. And so he knows firsthand what it is to be in the midst of struggle. Yet he said this about hope. It is an orientation of the spirit, an orientation of the heart. It transcends the world that is immediately experienced and is anchored somewhere beyond its horizons. And he went on to say this, which is very important to note. Hope in this deep and powerful sense is not the same as joy that things are going well or willingness to invest in enterprises that are obviously heading for success, but rather an ability to work for something that is good, not just because it stands a chance to succeed. And I think this is so important to remember about hope and why sometimes we measure mistakenly hope by our human conditions or human measurements of time and condition, and it needs to look in a certain way. When really hope is about something that stretches beyond our human experience, and so it's not tethered to time or it's not tethered to a certain way of looking, yet it yearns for expression, and so it draws us forward into infinite potential and something better. And so hope is not that thing that looks a certain way and comes on a certain date, but is that thing that continues to drive us individually and collectively to a better future. Now, in this first week of Advent, we are looking at hope and faith, and so I'm going to circle back to hope, but I want to kind of turn our attention to faith for a moment. And so I'm going to ask you again, just to reflect, like tune in, and what does faith mean to you? What does that idea of faith mean to you? What does it bring up in you? And some of you might be saying, well, it's sort of like hope. Isn't it the same as hope? Aren't those used interchangeably? Aren't they like synonyms? Yes and no. So this is a pop quiz. So let's explore faith and how these two are different but work together. So in Unity, faith we look at as an actualizing force. It is a power that I really see as this bridge. So it's firmly anchored and rooted right here in our human experience, yet it is a bridge to that which we hope for. And the two together work in concert. So our hopes go forth to imagine, to dream, to envision a different reality, a different future, whatever that may be as an individual or collectively. And our faith is that part that stays here connected to us but goes out and grabs hold of that which we hope for and draws it forth into our human experience and our manifest world. And so these two work so beautifully together, but again, they don't always get measured by human conditions and human measurements. We can't always measure it by it has to look this certain way or it has to show up on this certain day. It's more fluid than that. And that's the nature of our spiritual work. Unity writer and teacher Winifred Wilkinson Hossman said it this way. She said, "Faith is that quality in us which enables us to look past appearances of lack, limitation, or difficulty. To take hold of the divine idea and believe in it, even though we do not see any evidence of it, except in our mind. And Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore said it this way. He said, faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with a power to shape substance. It is more than mere belief. It is the very substance of that which is believed. This is the faith that cooperates with creative law. And I want to turn back to Václav Havel because he was a master creator, metaphysician. And I don't think he ever probably heard of Unity, or maybe he did, who knows. But he used this creative process and tapped into the potential of hope and faith to bring about incredible change. And to a joint session of the U.S. Congress, he said this. He said, consciousness precedes being. So unity. It says, for this reason, the salvation of this human world lies nowhere else than in the human heart, the human power to reflect, human meekness, and human responsibility. Without a global revolution in the sphere of human consciousness, nothing will change for the better in the sphere of our being as humans. And so consciousness precedes being. And that is what this Advent season is about. It's about calling forth that Christ consciousness. It's about using these spiritual qualities and abilities that we have. And this week, we're focusing on hope and faith. And I want to just share somewhat recently a way that I tapped into this idea of hope and faith and these spiritual qualities and the power that they had for me. And so a few years ago, I had my immediate family all passed in a very short time, close together. My grandmother and mother and father and sister, and there was actually a couple other losses in there within a few years. And it was, to say the least, an incredibly challenging time. And I think one of the most challenging aspects was this backlog of grief. So I wouldn't yet have one loss to process, and there'd be another one on top of it. And so in this time, there was an incredible kind of heaviness and darkness, which was so unlike me. It was like being a different person, to feel disconnected from my light and disconnected a little bit from my optimism. And I have to say that hope and faith were these spiritual anchors for me. And not in a Pollyannish kind of way, not in a way of kind of bypassing or wishing away or trying to sidestep the grief or the feelings of loss. Actually, the exact opposite. Again, for me, hope became this way of expanding my vision. It became a way of opening up to more that was present, in addition to the human experience of loss in that moment. And so for me, hope was about also seeing and holding on to the beautiful memories, and also holding on to the ways in which my relationship with my beloved ones was transforming. So I got to hold on to the memories of what we shared in this life as they were on the earth, and then hope helped carry me forward into accepting and being open to a new relationship, which has been unfolding, and I am grateful for. And faith has been that bridge between the two to carry me forward through that time and continues to carry me forward. And so these are not just ideas. They are spiritual tools that I know I rely on. And I encourage you to step forward and really embrace them because they are within you. It is the truth of you. It is an inherent part of you. You have all the hope and all the faith you will ever need, ever. It is simply a matter of choosing and tapping into that. I think it's interesting that we light candles, and we put up lights at this time in the Northern Hemisphere, the darkest time as we move into winter. And for me, the lighting of candles, the lighting of the Advent candles is symbolic of lighting these truths within myself. So as I light a candle, I can imagine lighting that energy of hope, that power of faith within myself. And so what I'm seeing on the outside becomes also what I'm experiencing on the inside as I work with it. And we are going to have a Christmas candle lighting service on Christmas Eve. And so 7 p.m. Christmas Eve, I invite you to mark your calendars and join us for that time. And this year, I am also hosting a 24-hour silent prayer vigil, silent retreat, on the winter solstice. So winter solstice actually falls at 2:02 a.m. No, I'm not asking us to stay up all through the night, but it will start Sunday night and continue through Monday night, and there'll be more of that in the December newsletter that's coming out this week. And so I invite you to consider joining me for that. So as we close, I just want to take us into and anchor this for a moment in prayer. And so just listening within to that incredibly wise self, incredibly wise voice within yourself. And just being open to what hope and faith is in this moment for you. Knowing that you have all the hope and faith that you need and can possibly call forth. And so what it is in this moment, what is it that you are hoping for, that you are wanting to draw out? And I don't necessarily even see hope as a future experience. It can be calling forth that which is already within us in this very moment. And so what is your greatest hope for you personally, for our communities, and for our world? And then breathing into the power of faith that makes that a reality and brings it forth into our experience. And for this awareness and this time to be fully present with one another in these energies on this first Sunday in Advent, I am grateful. Amen.
God is my source, God is my power, God gives me everything I need. So I give thanks for all my blessings. God gives me everything I need. God is my source, God is my power, God gives me everything I need. So I give thanks for all my blessings. God gives me everything I need. Attempt
to bring George in live from his place to help us with our offering.
Good morning. I'm George Edwards, and I've been attending Seattle Unity for more than 20 years. And now I serve as the treasurer of the Board of Trustees of Seattle Unity. And I invite you to practice our law of giving and receiving through our generosity. It's our continued support that sustains this spiritual community and helps it thrive in challenging times. You can give by text to the number on the screen. We would also invite you to go to our website, seattleunity.org. And while you're there, you can also check out our recurring donation features. And in this holiday season, we might ask you to consider giving a special end-of-the-year gift to Seattle Unity. But for now, let's together hold the spirit of our gifts in our heart as we affirm, I give willingly, joyfully, and lovingly, knowing that God is the constant source of my supply. I give with graciousness and receive with gratitude. Let's breathe that in, and we dedicate and consecrate our gifts to the will, the work, and the way of the living Spirit of Truth. May each gift return to the giver a millionfold. And so it is. Amen.
So Diane said earlier, asking y'all about hope and what that means for you. Right now, we've been saying God. God means all sorts of things for us in Unity. God is in everything. I want you to say hope and figure out what that means for you.
Hope gives me everything I need. Hope is my source. Hope is my power. Hope gives me everything I need. So I give thanks for all my blessings. Hope gives me everything I need. Hope gives me everything I need. Hope gives me everything I need.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys. Shine.